Hey everybody, what's up? It's Trent McClellan with episode 55 of the Generators Podcast. What's happening? Hope you're having a great week. I'm recording this introduction on Sunday, sitting here in my dining room here in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada, Earth. And I'll be honest, I'm sitting here with just some candlelight because I went down to the old Shoppers Drug Mart there and purchased a scented candle. And what is it? It's eucalyptus and thyme. And I realize I'm at that age, you know? I'm at that age where I appreciate a good scented candle. And I mean, if you had told me, you know, 20 years ago that at some point I'll be buying a scented candle, not only that, we'll sniff quite a few to find the one that suits me and my needs. If you had told me that 20 years ago, I would have slapped you right in the face with your chip and pepper t-shirt. You know, that's what I would have done. I would have taken you off your fanny pack and I would have hit you upside the head with it. But here I am. Alas, it's 2020. We're all trying to find ways to cope. And for me, it's a scented candle. I'll tell you what else I did. I purchased a bag of Epsom salts for a bath. That's right. That's right. I'm a grown man who's going to start taking baths on the regular. That's where I'm at. Okay? How are you holding up? How are you coping? I'm going candles and bath. That's what I'm doing. That's right. Okay? And you want to judge me? Go ahead. Okay? But that's what I'm doing. That's my plan. That's my toolbox. All right? Candles and a bath. That's what I'm at. Okay? And I have no shame in it. Okay? I'm doing what I got to do to get by. We just finished our first week of work here at 22 minutes, and it was jam-packed. We shot a ton of sketches, and I think it was in every single sketch for the most part. Yeah, I think it was in every single one. So I don't know how many we shot. Six, seven, I don't know. Eight? I have no idea. It was a bunch. It was a bunch every day, at least three a day, maybe nine. I don't know. Probably nine sketches. And I got to tell you, when you've had six, 7 months off, as I have, and then you go directly into 2 weeks quarantine where you've seen no one, getting thrust back into the old work mixer there and being around a bunch of people and, you know, you have different meetings to go to and fittings and read-throughs and you're learning lines and just being back around that many people again, man, by Friday, I was done. I was exhausted. And it's kind of like that every single season. It takes you like a week to kind of get back up to speed and get your stamina back for the speed at which we do the show. Cause it's a blazing week. Like you're going 100 miles an hour from Monday to Friday for the most part. So, yeah, I was done, man. On Friday, I was just, by the time we finished, I was exhausted, but so happy to be back to work. I think all of us are. You realize right now in the world that so many folks have lost their jobs out there. People have had hours cut and wages cut, and as I said, lost jobs, and especially folks in the arts entertainment world, you know, comedians, actors, musicians, writers, all the folks involved in those worlds in terms of the folks who help people tour and the people who, you know, work in the venues that all the shows are at. These people are struggling too. So, you know, when you see all that going on and then you just look at your own situation, you know, I know for myself personally, I just feel grateful to be working again. And I appreciate everything that the production team have done at 22 to ensure that we have a season and that we go about it in a safe way. So there's lots of COVID protocol obviously and stuff, but I think grateful to be back doing what we love to do and have our little family together. We have our season premiere is October 6th on CBC. And I think it's going to be a spicy first one. You know, Lord knows there's been enough stuff happening in the world in the last six, 7 months. We'll have no shortage of stuff to talk about. And we're looking forward to getting that first episode out to you guys. So make sure you tune in. I had a pretty good weekend overall. Met some friends for some drinks and some dinner on the weekend and really enjoyed that. It felt normal again. Felt, you know, I got maybe again after having 2 weeks of just self-quarantining and being by myself. It was just, I really, really appreciate now, like, you know, getting to hang out with friends and get caught up and actually have that FaceTime again. So I was, it was really, really nice to do that. Went to a place called Gahan House here in Halifax. Really, really good. Enjoyed the food, the drinks, service was great. So a little shout out to them. If you're in the Halifax area, check that out. It's just downtown there. So, really enjoyed that. So it was great. So back to work again this week for us. And, as I said, grateful to be back at it. Now, setting up this episode of the Generators Podcast, my guest this week is a rock and roll man himself. He is none other than Sam Roberts of the Sam Roberts Band. I'm telling you right now, I'm saying pound for pound, if you have not seen the Sam Roberts Band live, do yourself a favor and get yourself to that show, okay? These guys bring it every single night. There is no phoning it in. The band is crazy tight. Sam is an awesome performer, and they've got a ton of hits, and they just do it live. That's the great thing about it. You know, they can just produce it live. And I want to have Sam on the show for a while, and luckily reached him, I think, at his home in Montreal, and gave me an hour of his time, and I was so grateful for that. And we get into a bunch of stuff, kind of the state of the world, where things are at. And him and the band also have a new album coming out October 16th. It's called All of Us. And I got to have a little bit of a preview of that album. And I got to tell you, it's really, really, really good. It's pretty nostalgic. And Sam talks about why the lyrics and the music kind of went there, and what his process was for generating those lyrics and the music. And he was really, really honest in this chat, and very vulnerable. I think it's one of the best ones that I've done in my years of doing the podcast. And just loved him giving me a peek inside of how he goes about his work. And I always love the parallels between, you know, creating comedy or, you know, making a sketch or making music. I think just people's creative process to me is always fascinating. And I always learn so much from other people's processes. So it was great that he was so transparent with that. But I really feel like this album, All of Us, is like an open letter to the times that we're living in right now. And if you're looking to try and make sense of all that's going on, I think this is an album that may help you do that. I really, really believe that. That's coming out October 16th. I think you can already pre-order it off Sam's website. And again, it's called All of Us. Fantastic album. Some really, really great songs on there. And I think you'll be hooked once you give it a listen. All right. Well, here's my chat with Sam Roberts. All right, Sam Roberts, you and I have both managed to navigate technology enough to figure out how this world works. And you've already told me that your kids have bashed your clothing choices this morning. Is this the new world we're living in?
This is the new world. I mean, this is what we're living in now. And I don't know how to make heads or tails of it, to be honest with you. But it's kind of like it hits you right between the eyes first thing. As you wake up in the morning, it's like, check your phone. What's going on? Oh, man. Make fashion choices when you open the closet. Equally bad news. So there's no winning right now.
I woke up one day and I was just behind the times. I don't know how that happens. Like, you go from my clothing is the proper choice. My phone is the right phone. I'm driving a car that's not archaic. And then you go to sleep one day and you wake up, and the whole world is just past you on the left-hand side. And you're like, how am I now broke down on the side of the road and no one's coming to help me? I feel like that pretty much every day.
You know what? I'm going to go with you on this one. I'm going to go all the way down this road with you. But I just want to say that we've probably just cut off a huge, percentage of the potential listening demographic for this conversation. So just so we know, like, again, I'm in, but we just lost like huge amount of listenership out there, but let's go. You're right. We are behind the times, and it does, it's true.
A good buddy of mine says when he goes into a club now or a bar, he goes, I look around and often think, I'm the only person in this club with lotto tickets and Rolaids in his pocket. Oh my God. Is that true? I think that might be true.
Well, it is true. But the mistake number one is going into a club or a bar.
Exactly.
And that's where you just, if you're armed with Rolaids and a lotto ticket, then, you know, just walk on by. Don't open the door. Don't be tempted. Don't grease the bouncer, you know? Although you don't have to grease the bouncer anymore. It's just that they're like, they call you sir.
Because it's the guy you went to high school with. He's like, hey, Craig. Hey, yeah, you too? All right.
Yeah, exactly.
So, dude, how you been doing, man? It's been a couple of years since I saw you. I think the last time I saw you live was at the George Street Festival last summer, I think, in St. John's. It was you.
Yeah.
You guys in the Watchmen were on the bill, and I think the Trues were on that as well. Like, it was a crazy, crazy lineup.
Yeah, that was a good night.
It was a fantastic night. Yeah.
Still one of my favorite festivals in the world, and just the venue itself, and obviously the fact that it's in St. John's, you know that the energy will not be in short supply for sure. So that's always step one. But just the way, if you've never been to George Street before, the way there's this sort of amphitheater just built into the side of the hill across the street from the stage is, it just makes for this unique, but incredibly energetic environment. So yeah, we were hoping to go back. I'd go back every year if we could, but wasn't to be this year. But so I'm glad that's one of our last real sort of festival memories from 2019 anyway.
Yeah, what's the weird thing about it now? Like, even for me as a stand-up comedian, you think about the last time I was on stage, and I didn't realize in the moment that, like, oh, you, this thing you've taken for granted for the last 16 years suddenly just goes away. And I'm like, I think it's recalibrated my brain to start taking it in more. Like, every single time you get a chance to get on stage, like, embrace this, really. Because you can fall into an autopilot mode, you know, if you're not careful, of kind of like, well, this is what I do and this is my job. And now I realize, take all that away, and it's like, oh, wow, it gets quiet real, real quick. Have you had that moment, like, since the world tilted? What's your reflection on that?
For sure. I think we were sort of gearing up to, getting back to how this conversation started, but, you know, let's not call it getting older, but just becoming more experienced. I think we've been thinking that way a little bit the last few years, just, it sort of hits you. Yes, you've had all these years of, I guess, repetition of a certain way of living and having the opportunities to perform. But I think it started to dawn on us, like, wow, we've been doing this for a long time now. And, you know, let's not talk too loudly about it. And they might let us keep doing it for a while yet, you know. Let's just sort of don't draw too much attention to ourselves so that nobody realizes that we're, you know, moving on. But I think it's kind of been creeping into our mindset the last few years. Just like, wow, man, this has been a great journey so far, but we're not ready for it to end yet or anytime soon. And then this came along, and I think it just compounded that feeling of, it's a mix of frustration and gratitude for having been able to do it for a long time, but frustration at not knowing when we can pick up again, where we left off. I kind of feel like it's not just a entertainment specific predicament either. You know, this is something that no matter what, so many people out there have been doing that job and counting on that job, and, you know, that feeling of being, you know, depending on waking up in the morning and knowing that your life has some kind of security, or, you know, if not predictability attached to it. And I think that's been, you know, something shaken up for everybody out there. So I think if anything, musicians and entertainers, stand-up comedians are used to dealing with this kind of life walking along the edge of a cliff all the time. Yeah. You feel like you could just fall off at any time. And I think we live in that mode and we're so used to being, you know, living under the threat of annihilation at any time. Somebody just yanking the, you know, just literally just saying, okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Click the switch off and away we go. You're like, that's enough.
Exactly.
That's enough. Yeah.
So I think we're oddly prepared, sort of emotionally and psychologically for living with this kind of, uncertainty, if anything.
Yeah. It's interesting now cause I just got to Halifax a week ago cause we start filming in, you know, in a week and a half. So I had to self quarantine and it's just weird, dude, like to kind of think about, cause I thought about my career, obviously like that whole world going away at one period of time, but now just this having to be in a condo and you can't go outside and just that inability to connect with people, whether you're actually talking to them or just interacting with people, walking by them, going into a coffee shop, like it just reinforced to me how much we are pack animals, you know, of this ability to just feel connected to other people. Now shows are a great way to do that. Actually to be at a concert, singing the lyrics to a song all at one time. I feel comedy is the same thing. People laughing all at the same time. It's like everyone's on that same page in that moment. And for me now to just have those small things taken away, I'm like, man, I'm going into week two. And I'm like, what was that? Is that someone coming in? Is that somebody who wants a conversation? No? That's okay.
Hey, Jake, did you want to talk? No, I hear you. And I think that's a really good way of putting it. You know, those sort of moments of community, you know, or communion even, are now in very short supply. And everybody is retreated into their own little sort of world of, you know, ways of connecting, also how they're entertained. You know, so much of the time it comes down to, you know, what's on your, you know, you're glued to your device. And again, you're sort of going into your own rabbit hole all the time. Whereas a concert or a show represents that thing where we all put that aside and we come together. And like you say, there's this sort of, there's a common vocabulary for that moment. And taking that away, and I say this as a musician, but also somebody who loves going to see bands play. And loves going to a comedy show, loves to be out there in the crowd, feeling that breaking down of barrier, that sort of, yeah, just breaking down the barrier between you and me.
Yeah.
And letting go of it in a very sort of unconscious way is a beautiful thing about shows and concerts. And I think that people, you know, not just musicians are missing this right now, not just, you know, comedians are missing this. I think people need that kind of thing. And you kind of realize, you start to realize that we play an important role in that, you know, we do. And not to pat ourselves on the back necessarily, but it just sort of shows you that you're part of it's an important pursuit because you are giving people a reason to put their arm around the person next to them. And, you know,
I think you're
share
right.
Something with them, care about them, you know?
Yeah, you're right. It's that connecting with a stranger piece that people don't get as much. And the irony being, the vicious irony being, people need it now more than they ever have. And you can't have that moment right now, you know? And so there's a real cruelty to that. One of the things I've done, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this, is I've, as a result of not being able to go outside, I guess, physically, I've started to go inside more. And so it's been spending more time thinking about just my life in general and kind of auditing, you know, thought processes and all those things, because I feel like we're in this world now where we decided to go after the other and who's the reason why my life isn't where it's supposed to be, you know, like that's this political mandate that you see rising right now. And I feel like the answers are always inside. The answers are always dealing with your own shit and your own perspective and taking responsibility for your own life and your own decisions. And so I've tried to use this time to do that. I don't just mean this last week or so. I mean, like since, you know, February, March, when this all went down, it's like, just go inside and try and figure out how I can be better, you know, for me, and then move forward with that. What's your thought process on that? Have you had kind of time for yourself to kind of reflect and go, everything's paused, everything's stopped. What am I doing? Who am I?
I think you might have confused what you're feeling. You know, you're sort of thinking about this in terms of COVID-19, but what you're really referring to is the midlife crisis.
You're right. Just it was a perfect. I just collided. Yeah.
It just so happens that they happened at the same time. So now you're getting a.
Yeah, I'm telling my friends you question your life. You don't know if you've made the right decisions. Ah, yeah, that's right. You go through that at that age. Don't worry about it.
No, it's like that scene in Jurassic Park where he sees the one velociraptor, but he doesn't know that the other one is on this. You know, and.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what's happening right now. But no, I completely agree that there's been an amount of time for self reflection these days, and you know that can be a scary prospect too. But it can lead to something constructive, and you have to figure out a way to channel that into your work. I think if that's what you if that's what you do and that's what you need. I think that again, this is, I'm joking about a midlife crisis, but I'm also not joking about a midlife crisis, because I feel like for the last few years, it's sort of, it's started creeping into the work.
Yeah.
This idea, this introspection that I don't feel, that didn't come naturally to me before, seems to be ever present now.
Yeah.
And there was always a way of talking about your feelings by telling stories about other things or other people. And I found that was much more natural for me if I was trying to express something meaningful to me, it was easier to talk about it via other people. Mm-hmm. And I found that in the last few years that wasn't coming as naturally to me as anymore, that I felt like the only honest way to say something was to actually say what I was thinking, what I was living through. And that to me is like a pretty profound shift on a personal and a creative level. I guess, it's like you're saying, you don't really realize that this change is happening to you. It just sort of creeps up on you. And then you realize that you can't, all of a sudden, that's the only way to do it honestly.
Yep.
And,
I agree.
So yeah, I feel like it just so happens that in the midst of all of this change, like you say, you throw in this global crisis and it sort of hyper focuses and magnifies this whole process, you know?
Yeah.
So, and it's very hard to look out into the world today and find anything but chaos and disorder and confusion. And, it doesn't matter where you look. It doesn't matter what, you pick a lane and you're going to find, more strife and struggle than you want to see out there, especially if you're looking for solace, in any of it. So you kind of tend to have to, like you say, look inwards.
I think what the terrifying thing is for me is this common theme of just distrust that everyone just seems to have. Like you question everything now, from the news to the person who said this thing. What channel is he on? What party is that guy with? Who is she? Like, you think everyone has an agenda. So there is no, you're looking harder and harder for some real truths in the world and real bedrock that you can kind of latch onto and go, this isn't going anywhere. This is what it is. It's steady. It seems like the plates are always moving. And so people, that leads to so much uncertainty, I think, for a lot of people, and I think there's a great segue, Sam Roberts, into the latest album. Mm-hmm. All of Us, out October 16th, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. The answer to all your problems. That's my pitch. That's what I want to be, like the little sticker that they put on the outside.
Yeah, yeah.
Rolling Stone magazine says the answer to all of our problems.
I was not having a great time in life and somewhat depressed. And then I played All of Us and I've been smiling ever since. Thanks, Sam Roberts. Do the commercial.
Perfect.
All of us make side effects.
Exactly. Some side effects may occur, including...
I got a copy of the album from your team, and I did a thing that I have not done in a long time, which was not play a Sam Roberts song, because I play your stuff pretty regularly, but I listened to an album from start to finish, like from the beginning to the end. And I realize I'm also part of the problem, you know, in this world of listening to music like it's a potluck dinner where you're like, oh, a little bit of this and I'll take a little bit of that. But to sit and actually listen to an album from start to finish was a great experience. Put on these headphones, sat on the couch. I wasn't on my phone. I literally sat and just listened to it. Had the lyrics there as well. And I was like, shit, man, I remember that's how I used to listen to albums as a kid. You know, opening up album art, looking at the inside jacket of it, going along with the lyrics, and you were just lost in that world for the entirety of that album. And this album, I find, is so cinematic in so many ways, in the sense that when I listened to almost every song, I could see characters, I could see scenes and things. So was that a goal going into it, or were you kind of just writing and seeing where it went?
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad to hear you say that. And to be quite honest, I hope that that's everybody's. I know it won't be, but that's what I'd like. And that's how it was made, was as an album. And maybe that, I think these days that kind of flies in the face of convention, because everything is just sort of cut up and parceled out as little, almost sound bites, you know, like the shorter the song, the less, and the more packed with information it is. It's kind of like a block. Every song is like a mini blockbuster, you know, summer blockbuster now. There's got to be a lot of explosions. There's got to be a lot of stuff happening all the time, because there's this fear of losing people's attention in this world where there's, you know, everything is coming at you on a sensory level from all sides. And you've got these people, you can just swipe that thing away. You know, you don't have to commit to anything necessarily. So, but to me, I still love the experience that you describe perfectly, which is sitting there and getting lost in not just one song, but in songs that were made and written to be together and to tell a story that's sort of greater than its individual parts. And each song is sort of contributing to, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be an overarching message, but it's a feeling that you want people to have too, something to take away from every listen, something different and something that you feel a bit changed by. And so, yeah, that was the challenge, I think, making this record, was to make it an album. And again, hope or trust that some people will see that and dive into it that way.
Yeah, well, I think it's a great album. I think there's so much connective tissue in between each song where you kind of feel like you are on this journey kind of. And I, at times, felt like always being hopeful. And other times I went, oh, no, he's saying we're all nope. fucked. And then, oh, wait, no, oh, there's hope again. Rising. Oh, no, what's that?
Like, oh, no, there it goes.
It was like a kite in the wind. It's like, oh, it's going to crash. No, it's going back. It's caught a breeze.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah, I think it ends ultimately on a whole. I think every song, every record I've ever made, I've always made a very sort of intentional effort to not go out in despair.
Right.
And this is no except to me that the because I think a very optimistic person, you know, despite all this, you know, strife and turmoil that we've been describing in the world around us, I still feel good about where we're going, guys, you know.
I'm your pilot and some turbulence right now.
That's it. And, little bumpy ride here, but I think it's something that I think I just can't, it's hardwired into me the way, you know, like maybe not just the way I write music, but more about just how I live and how I think. And that comes out in this, but that doesn't mean that you don't go to as dark a place as you need to go sometimes exercise your demons. Sometimes, you try to hold up a mirror to the world that, you know, tells as honest a story as you're capable of telling and all those things. But again, I try to find my way back from that place. But this record took a long time for me to write and make. And that's also something that hasn't been the usual. And I don't really know the answer for that, to be honest. I think part of it was what we were talking about earlier on. It's just every time I wrote all the music first, and then I which sometimes has been the case for a few of the records, because I really get into the writing of the music and the way it all sort of fits together and the way it makes me feel. And then I let that feeling kind of dictate what the song, the actual song lyrically will tell. And then, you know, and then I'll write on top of the music, and then hopefully it all just kind of feels like one thing. But I felt like this record, every time I'd write words to it, they would bounce right off of it. And I think that it was because I kind of knew that I had to be more upfront and more open. And everything that I did that wasn't that felt false. And it was like, you know, you've just had you've had heart surgery, you know, heart transplant, and you're taking your organ rejection, non-rejection, you know? Yeah. And it was sort of, it felt like that. Every bit of music was like, just saying, no, that's not there. You're not telling the truth, you know? And I think because of that, I rewrote it quite a few times. To get to the point where I was actually, then it was like, once I did that, and then it was almost like the music just said, all right, you know, man, now you're done. There it is. There's the song. But, and I kind of knew it, you know, sitting there just with my notebook, scratching things out over and over again, that I wasn't going far enough with it.
Right. The music almost acts like a lie detector. It's exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
No, not that one.
Yeah,
next.
No. Yeah. It was a weird feeling. Everything felt false. Everything just came out. Everything just felt like it was it wasn't there. So and when you go there and you finally, like, the two things come together, I felt good about it. I felt good about having gone through that process, you know. And also just putting yourself to the test as a writer sometimes, and knowing that that it can be better, knowing that there's a more honest or a more musical or, you know, melodic way to say something that will get to the feeling that you're trying to get to. Editing yourself in a way. I haven't done a lot of that before. A lot of times it's just like, oh, whatever comes out, that's it.
Right.
But just didn't feel like that was the right thing this time.
I've always found it amazing when musicians make albums and songs, because I've heard that saying, I don't know if you've heard before, about you don't actually finish a song or an album, you just abandon it, you know, that it just eventually is just like, all right, enough's enough, stop fucking with it, put it out in the world and leave it alone and move on. You know? Like, was there a bit of that in this process?
Yeah, right at the end for sure. It was right before COVID. It was, you know, all that was swirling in the news, and we knew that things were not. We were supposed to come out to St. John's for a show, and it was the first show that got canceled, actually. So we knew that things were up, and the rumor mills were, you know, flying. It was like, oh, okay, yeah, it looks like everything at the end of March is on hold, if not canceled. And we were like, shit, man, we've got to get this record done now. Yeah. And so it was almost like we got to not go through that process that you're describing of sort of having to, you know, pull the plug on our own project. It was like it got done for us.
Right.
So it was a hard stop based on circumstances beyond our control. That was almost like a relief in a way, to have to not go through that. Like, are we done? What do you think? I don't know. Are we done? I think it can be better. I think we should go back. What was that original version? That was cooler.
We don't have time for that.
There, man.
There's no fucking time for that. I just looked at the news. Yeah, there's no fucking time for another take.
That's it. We literally had to get home. We were at this studio called Studio The Wild, which I thought is like the coolest name for a studio. And it's in Northern Quebec.
Right.
And we were literally in a sort of pre-quarantine with the band, knowing that we had, you know, we were under the gun to get this record finished. And it literally came down to a matter of hours that the lockdown started in Montreal, and And we, so we're like, no, that's it, guys. The record's done. So, no apologies. No apologies.
take it as is. Yeah.
Take it as it is.
Well, it's funny because I've been grappling with this whole adage too of, as someone who creates stuff, that I always thought, like, you know, framework and a border to work within was like, oh man, that's not why I got into this stuff. So someone could put me in a box and tell me I can't do this and I can't do that. And then I realized sometimes, like, being able to use all the colors and all the world as a canvas is a horrible, horrible, yeah, like, curse, right? Because you're like, yeah, put me in a, now I'm like, Jesus, somebody put me in a box just for a week so I know what the framework is and how to work within that, you know? But it allows you to focus, I think. And even what you're talking about is like, no, I'm not giving you forever to put this thing out. Let's restrict the time, and that makes decisions for you, which sometimes as an artist you need.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I actually have come to appreciate deadlines a great deal. You know, I find it really hard to get anything started. Forget about finishing something, starting something, when you know that there's this endless expanse of time ahead of you, you know, this sort of limitless canvas. I'm like, oh, I'll start tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. You know, I feel like a sense of urgency is essential to the creative process. I don't mean where the ideas themselves come from. I just mean like the actual mechanics of the thing that nobody ever wants to talk about or hear people talk about, you know, when you're writing music or you're writing novels or, you know, stand up or anything, you know, painting, that there's a logistical mechanical component to the whole thing that, yeah, it's a big part of it too, you know, and for me, having a deadline hanging over my head is the best way to kick that into gear. So yeah, I appreciate that, you know, being under the gun.
Well, I feel like you see these quite often, these, you know, stories about albums or a show, and it's like, you know, Sam Roberts went into the studio on this date, and when he came out, all of us was born. And it's like, it's so dismissive of what you talked about, that time between you going into the studio and this thing coming out the other end. It's like, yeah, there was a lot of blood, sweat, tears, swearing, frustration, headbanging, punching wall, whatever it took to pull this thing out. But I think there's this romantic notion of what it is to be an artist or a creator, of like the muse arrived and things just float out of your fingertips and ta-da, this beautiful polished thing was formed. And I think when people believe that that's what following your passion is, I think it's a horrible myth and lie that people who haven't found their passion are looking for. They're looking for that thing that doesn't involve any effort or work, and suddenly never work a day in your life. It's like, shut up. No one, I don't know anyone who's not working, doing the thing that they love. It's work, right? Like,
for sure. I mean, I think we're partially responsible for spreading that myth too, you know, in that we want people to think that there's this sort of mystery behind the whole thing. I do believe that there is to an extent, but, you know, that there's something inaccessible to the average person in writing music. And there is some truth to that for sure. But there's a lot of work that if you're hardworking enough, you can, you know, you can go in and figure it out. We just don't want everybody to know that, so that we retain our special status as these sort of weird, you know, like it's our free pass for so much of what goes on in life. Just, oh, just leave him. He's a musician. His head's in the clouds, you know, he's singing in his mind with the angels right now. Just you know, he doesn't need to mow the lawn. He doesn't need to take out the garbage. Just leave him to his muse, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why, yeah, I think we're largely responsible for the myth, for sure.
So when you find out, you thought your whole life that someone was an amazing cook, and then you watch them make it one day and you're like, this is just shake and bake? You just shake the chicken in a bag and throw it in. I thought you were in here all day just... anyone can do it, really. It's just put the chicken in the bag, add the seasoning.
No one ever asked.
I kept the door shut all those years. It just, you know, this doesn't take 7 hours at all. What were you doing for the other 6 hours and 45 minutes? It's funny, I was talking to Danny Graves from The Watchmen. He was on the podcast a couple of years ago, and he was talking about that very concept of preparing to do the work and how you can bullshit yourself with the preparation part of it. You know, like I got my notebook and got my new MacBook and I got my new, got to go over to Staples and get my flip chart paper. And I got, my it's like, you're going to write it.
It's unbelievable. Like sharpening pencils. It's like lining them up and it becomes like this whole, like I'm right here. I'm sitting here, you know, where I know I got my notebooks right here. I got, you know, everything I need. Yeah. Oh, there's even a tambourine over here. If I need, what if, you know, I better put it within arm's reach. What if I need that tambourine? And then you're like, oh, it's lunchtime. I'm just going to head up and get a sandwich going. And then I'll come back down and get started right after.
Yeah, tomorrow's a good day. It's supposed to be rainy tomorrow, so that's a better day for me to stay inside.
Yeah, it's going to be a better day tomorrow. We've already...
Yeah, better day tomorrow.
Yeah, that's exactly it, though. I'm always so glad when I hear other people... it's like when you hear other people talking about, you know, their difficulties in raising their children.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, okay, I thought I was the worst parent in the world. And it's the same thing with writing songs. I'm always so glad to hear that other people have the same capacity for procrastination. Because when you do it, like when you actually start, if I just started right now, like we get off this call and if I flicked on the thing and I actually just pressed record and, you know, turned a keyboard on and grabbed a guitar, something would happen.
Yep.
You just have to allow for something to actually happen. But in order for something to happen, you actually have to do something.
Right.
And it's weird, I don't know what, man, like this crazy mental block where you're just like, no, I just can't start today. I don't know. There's too many, you know, and that's another reason why it takes so long to make records, is you're grappling with that. Once it starts and it picks up enough momentum, then, you know, the train's rolling down the track and you want to work. Totally. And the work starts to feed itself, and exactly you feel like you have to you're just sort of trying to keep up, and you're trying to listen and for, you know, your next cue, your next instruction. But we have an amazing capacity for fighting against that starting when it comes to this. And I think there's nothing, as much as I say, you know, it's nice to have a blank canvas and feel like you have all that freedom to do whatever you want to do. Staring at a blank canvas is the most unmotivating thing at the beginning. And it's only when you start to throw things at it, good or bad, it doesn't really matter. But it's in that starting off that, you know, that's where the work comes from, basically.
I find it amazing too, because you've got so many examples of how you've done it already. That's the thing, right? It's not like it's your first time doing it. Like, you've got albums on the wall. I have proof that I can do this and that I've done it successfully hundreds of times. And we still go back to zero and go, I don't know. You know what? I'm going to make some muffins.
That's it. That's the only reasonable response to the way I'm feeling right now, is to do some baking.
Make some muffins. Well, I'll tell you, when I listened to the album, there was a lot of trips back to childhood that I really loved. Like, I loved Ghost Town. To me is like a puppy dog in your house you're trying to catch. It's so cute, but also like I could see it in my head when you were talking about, you know, going back to this town. And again, maybe this is midlife crisis you're claiming that I'm having, is that
I'm projecting.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. You're like, Libby, are you talking about yourself, Sam Roberts? When I go back to my hometown, I mean, I'm from Corner Brook, right? Newfoundland on the West Coast. And, you know, you go back, the house I grew up in is gone. The street that I grew up on looks very, very different. You know, it is almost ghosts. It is almost, because there's a lot of references to ghosts on the album as well. And I felt like, I totally related to it all, because I felt like when the future and the present is insecure and uncertain, we go back to our childhood and to nostalgia, because that is that anchor that we can hold on to, because we can handpick those memories that give us comfort, almost like a blanket that makes us feel good. I don't know if any of that makes sense, how I'm describing.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. And it's part of what we're talking about, like when. Something that I didn't want to write about.
Right.
Like I haven't, I've been sort of I don't know, rejecting the idea of nostalgia as being overly sort of sentimental and not of great value to me in an attempt to sort of like keep your gaze focused on the future. Like what lies ahead? What needs to be done? You know, where do we need to go? Where do I need to go? What do I need to be? You know, and you know, when I was talking about the music sort of rejecting the songs, it was like, no, this is coming from that place. This is about looking back. This is about allowing yourself to go back as much as you can, as much as you're always kind of grasping at vapors when you're trying to see the past. It's okay to want to spend time there. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to look, you know, when you were talking about sort of introspection in this sort of day and age that we're living into as a place that you can go, a place that you can travel to. And I feel like in the last few years, I've been looking, trying to look as far back and as, you know, truthfully as possible into, yeah, my own childhood and growing up and the way I feel about it all. And again, it's so tantalizingly close, and yet you can never get it. And I think there's just an incredible amount of beauty and frustration in that, in your relationship with that, where you come from and who you were. And I think that, yeah, that was the, I think the governing, sort of motivating force of this whole record was just allowing, just to almost felt like just go yeah. And look, go and yeah. see what you see and see what you find there. And it was ultimately the I think the first time that I've allowed myself to go there and to write about it. I go there in my own mind, but I never share that with anyone.
Right.
I would never write a song about it necessarily. And I think part of it, I have, you know, I have kids. I look at my, I've been doing so much, you know, just, you, of course you're raising your kids, but you're also an observer, you know, you're also just sort of a witness to their childhood. And in seeing theirs, you kind of, yeah, you want to feel that way again.
Yeah.
Or just see the world through their eyes a little bit more. And so I think in order to do that, I had to kind of go back.
Well, I think the concept too of reinvention of how we've all been different people throughout our lives, depending on where we are. And you have your childhood phase, you know, you go through your teenage years. And I think maybe that's where this comes from too, is that this is a time for reinvention for all of us right now. The world has changed. It'll never be the same as we knew it. And so we're all forced to go, well, who am I going to be on the other side of this? And how am I going to navigate it? And I think there is that connection to history of like looking backwards, learning from what we've done in the past. And then how do you take that to better inform yourself going forward? So I don't know if maybe that, if there's some connection there, perhaps, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right. And then on, we can't see you past this sort of barrier, you know. Even now we say, okay, on the other side of all this, but there is no other side of all this, right? Like we're already living it now. It's just, we feel like, I think it's a kind of a human instinct is to say like, okay, we've got this big obstacle. It's this big wall. And once we all figure out a way collectively or individually to get over that wall, then we'll start living again.
Right.
But we're living now.
Yeah.
So it's like, but I think it's, yeah, that's a very, it's that, that's your optimism too, shining through there. Like that's just how we deal with these things.
Yeah.
But to assume that at some point, it's like watching the news, you know, you watch the news every day and you're like, at some point there's not going to be any news anymore. Right. Because it's just going to all be figured out, but you know, but it's not, it's a circle. Yeah. And we live in circles. We don't live in a linear, you know, on a linear plane. Yeah. And, but we have a tendency to think that we do. And that to me is an important distinction.
Yeah.
Because if you think about circles all the time, circles are, that'll drive you crazy. And so, yeah, I think the looking back is almost just an acknowledgement of the fact that we are just you know, yeah, we progress, but we're progressing in cycles rather than, you know, up a hill or,
yeah,
you know, in a straight line
to some new land. It's funny because I started a gratitude practice a couple of years ago where I started meditating a little bit and started the day with gratitude of thinking about, you know, from the big things to the small things. And I listened to War Chest last night and the second song on the album. And it's that line, without love, where would we be? And in the song, you're just listing all these small things that we should all be taking in. And I was like, yeah, that's that right there. That's that ability to kind of appreciate those small things and take them in and not skip over them. Like, I think we've been moving at such a clip. We just slow stuff down and take that in. Is that where that came from for you in terms of that process of just, can we just slow stuff down and appreciate the little things?
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever said thank you in a song before.
Right. You know?
And I didn't write that song during COVID, but I think the world was already, like, if you look back at the world in January or December of last year, we already felt like we were at this crazy tipping point, you know. There was already enough Armageddon material to feel like we're literally at the crux of human existence, you know, or at least heading towards it. And then we throw, you're like, oh yeah?
There's some gasoline on that fire.
Exactly. Yeah. You thought we were at the limit, you know. But I think a lot of these songs were written in that frame of mind too. And you can have a lot of responses to that kind of feeling of desperation. And gratitude is usually pretty far down the list.
Yeah.
But that was just something that, you know, sometimes that has to be your response to this is, you know, let's point out the good things. Let's focus on them and spend as much of our energy, if not trying to relive them and bring them into our lives more often, again, at least just being thankful for them. And the whole idea of a war chest, you know, sort of putting it aside for a time when we really need that.
Yeah.
When you have to dig really deep to find something to live for and something to make you want to keep going.
Yeah, but I think now more than ever we need that, because you're right. I had to take a little bit of a break off social media and you know, you start your day, you open up your phone, and it's just darkness, darkness, darkness. And I was like, I'm letting in all this shit. And, you know, I had to start letting in some good stuff. And so that might be a hot cup of coffee in the morning or a great conversation with a friend or sunrise. But like, I got to start looking, actively looking for the good things, because otherwise you calibrate your brain the other way to just take in all this negativity. And it's North Korea, it's Trump, it's, you know, it's just endless, endless things. And, if you don't start filtering what goes in there, I think you change as a person, you change your perspective on the world changes. So for me, it was just trying to armor up a little bit and go, I gotta recalibrate this thing. I gotta change the Brita filter in this.
You know, we have lead here in Montreal. So we got a new Brita filter for, but a social media Brita filter is not a bad idea for sure. You know, you were talking before about, the way things are in the world today, and how, like, it's hard to remember a time when there were so many things going on at once that were so crucial, and yet there's so much negativity. I don't remember. Maybe the negativities are always existed out there, but it didn't have a voice. It didn't have this kind of cheap and easy voice. Anyway, even the really negative people had to work hard to sort of, you know, create gangs and stuff, you know, gangs of negativity who would go out and, you know, but now it's just so easy to just, you know, fire off. And I do wonder sometimes, this is all going into the realm of the purely hypothetical, obviously, but, you know, that if all of this is just sort of a result of the ease with which we can lean on that part of ourselves that is negative, that does always tend to see the, you know, the dark side and that sort of allowing xenophobic, you know, all these things that are sort of in our system, giving, you know, such a free and easy platform to all of that and a voice to all of that in a way that it's never had, or it's never, it's in human history, you know, it's always had to become a far more institutionalized thing in order to find shape, mm-hmm. you know? And now it's just like, there's just venom everywhere you look. So I don't know, you can look at it two ways. You can look at it a bunch of ways, but one is that we need to shut that down and go back to a place where there's just a little bit more, I don't know, respect and decorum in the way we deal with each other and sort of fighting back that instinct to say that, to fire off that little cheap shot. That's so easy. It costs you nothing. There's no repercussion, basically, mm-hmm. you know. But there's just a death by a thousand cuts that way. That's how I feel about it. Unless the other side of it is that this is like herd immunity for negativity. And if we just get it all out there right now, you know, in 20 years, we're going to be these super beings of enlightenment. And maybe this is the way forward, you know, we're just flushing out the system right now and we're going to be like levitating and talking through, you know, SP and all kinds of crazy shit. And
floating around.
I don't know. Exactly. Just floating. So this is my social media theory for the day.
I love it. I'm reading a book about the Tragically Hip and their amazing career. It's funny, when I first got into the entertainment business, I don't know, you're younger and you think you have all these tangible goals you want to achieve and do this thing and do that thing. And then the longer I was in it, the more I realized that it's just continuing to have a career is what the goal is. It's just to be able to get up every day and create and make the stuff you want to make. And I think that's part of a midlife crisis, perhaps, as you would say. And I owe you for this session afterwards. But
I'm branching out, man. I'm branching out.
But do you look at it that way too? Of like you said earlier about just getting up every day and being able to do this for a living and be able to make music and for you to make music with your friends and do it on your terms. Like, when did you realize that was the, I'm assuming that's what you've realized is the goal. Maybe you haven't, but if so, when did you realize that for you?
You know, again, the whole idea of deromanticizing all of these ideas is kind of, might be bad for a business ultimately, but I do feel like, In the pursuit of an honest conversation, that absolutely. I mean, I think we realize that when you're starting out, you're so hell bent on getting a foot in the door that is your end game in a way. It's just sort of, how can I get a break? You don't contemplate what that break represents in terms of, you know, anything that lies beyond that first opportunity. You have no idea. You put no thought into how you're going to navigate those waters when you find yourself sort of sailing in them. And I think after that, you know, initiation, you realize that the rest of your career is, you know, about keeping it going. And I mean that in the sense that you then compromise all of your artistic values and all of that. I just mean that you have to have the kind of work ethic. You have to have a thick skin and stubbornness and all these other things that I think you need for a lot of different career paths as well to fight for your place in the landscape. Obviously, if you make good music or good art, that's going to help, but it's usually not enough. It's not enough to sort of keep you, there's a lot of, there's competition out there. There's camaraderie and competition.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to sort of know when it's time for the one thing and know when it's time to kind of dig your heels in and create some space for yourself. And these are all the things that you kind of, you just don't think about before. And so to say, oh, well, we're just trying to continue our career. It's just like, but what goes into that is this tooth and nail fight on a daily basis. So it's never boring. It's never just sort of like towing the line. I think it is, it's more, it feels like it's more on the life or death part of the spectrum. And I think you have to be comfortable living in that mindset, and also knowing that being there is where you can find energy and inspiration from for your, for the art that you're supposed to be making to fuel the whole thing. So yeah, I mean, my ultimate objective and or my definition of success for sure is to say 10 years from now, you and I are sitting down having a conversation and, still at it. And then 10 years beyond that. And to throw another layer onto that, it would be, and still having something to say.
Yeah.
Because it's no guarantee that you just don't run out of juice.
Yeah.
You know, that you just, that the, what, who says the well is this infinitely deep, resource? And I don't know. And every time you stare at that blank page or canvas, you wonder if you've, how do I know that I haven't already drank the last drop?
Yeah.
I just don't know. And so every song is in it. Every song begins with a moment of, self-doubt.
Yeah.
And and then it's like, okay, no, it's still there. And then you go. And then you're back on your sort of that other horse where you're just letting your instincts sort of take you along. But there's always that moment just like, I don't know, you know, what's left in the tank.
It's amazing. I was trying to think about this Maya Angelou quote about creativity is a muscle that gets stronger the more you use it, you know, because I felt like that too, about, like, I remember writing my first stand-up hour. I thought, like, man, I don't know if I have anything left. That was like 15 years ago, 16 years ago. You know, you're like, well, that was every idea I've ever had. Okay. Well, that was a good run. Take care, everybody. And just fucked off, you know? So and then you're right. You have to go back to the well. And I think maybe that's where the fear comes from, of like, should I put this bucket down in the well? What if it's just gravel? What if I pull it up? And so it's that faith of putting the bucket back down the well, like, ooh, is that a splash? Did I hear some water, a little bit of water now?
I think it's and then there's some ripples, and instead of sand or whatever. And I think it is a muscle for sure. And part of the career aspect is that you are able to keep that muscle from atrophying.
Yeah.
And again, it comes back to invention through necessity rather than just being struck by lightning all the time. And I've become much more sort of comfortable with that idea of punching the clock as a songwriter.
Yeah.
Or punching the clock as a performer. It doesn't take away from the magic of the moment necessarily when it happens. But the discipline part of it, and I think, you hear a lot of authors talking about how they follow the same routine every single morning. They get up, they have their coffee, they get up, they read the newspaper. At 9:59, they head down to their writing desk, and they turn off the phone. They come up for, lunch at midday or whatever it is. And there's a structure to their creativity. And it doesn't mean that anything they write between 10 and 12 is going to necessarily make the cut, but it's in the process of, like you say, exercising that muscle, that you give yourself the chance to write something good.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like you're doing when you just show up and do something. And again, you're going to scrap a lot of it, but if you don't do that, then you haven't even given yourself the opportunity. So.
Yeah, I agree. All right, dude, getting ready to wrap this up. All of Us, the album, out October 16th. I think you can pre-order it now, I do believe, right? Off your site, I think.
Yes. Those technologically savvy folks out there, you can pre-order this.
Get onto your Commodore 64s, everybody, and purchase a copy of Sam Roberts' album. It's fantastic, man. It was really good. I loved listening to it from start to finish, and we'll be playing it thoroughly, I'm sure, over the next bunch of months. I think I thought about it earlier today. I was like, it's almost like an open letter to the times right now that we're in. I really feel like it's like, if you would just sit down with a pen and paper and go, dear world, it's like that kind of a letter to it. What do you want people to get out of this album?
Well, like we were talking about before, ultimately I hope, you know, hope and optimism, but also putting aside your fear to look into yourself, to find a way forward, you know, and for me, again, it was largely about enjoying for the first time, going back into my past and spending time with those memories and moments and feeling recharged, from having gone there. And I think, you know, I think hopefully, you know, everybody can benefit from that kind of thing through the music and just through themselves too.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, dude. Thanks so much, man. Great catching up with you.
It's been a pleasure, man. Really good talking to you. And yes, be well out there. And
you as well.
Say hi to the whole gang there too.
I will, yeah. Hopefully we'll see you live again real soon. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah,
see you here. Cheers, man.
All right.
Later.
Yeah, see ya.
That's it. That's my chat with Sam Roberts. And man, that was a good one. Really, really enjoyed that. I owe Sam some money for that counseling, the counseling that he gave me there in that. And so I got to send that check off to him real soon there. But yeah, pick up that album when you can. Download that thing, however you can get it, October 16th. Make sure you pay for it, okay? You know, wouldn't that be nice, you know, somehow? October 16th, the album, again, is called All of Us. And as I said, I think it'll, it's just what you need to get you through these times right now. It's, there's some great, great music on there. Thanks to all the folks who've been listening and subscribing to the Generators podcast. A lot of great feedback from the, from last episode, the Matt Stajan episode. And thanks to all you folks who are subscribing and sharing info about the podcast. I really appreciate it. We got more episodes coming for you. Again, big thanks to Sam Roberts again for this week's chat, and for you wherever you are, I hope you're well, and I hope you have a fantastic week, and I'll see you next week on Generator Podcast.